Morning. We had a pretty small crowd this morning during first service, and I was thinking, I know there's a lot of people traveling, because I know several families that have told me they weren't going to be here. So I got thinking about the people who were here, and I was thinking there's probably a few reasons. One, you're the really important person, and everybody comes to your house for Thanksgiving. That might be the case. Or maybe the really important person lives close, and so you're going to their house. Or possibly you're the black sheep of the family and you're not invited to Thanksgiving. So that may be why you're here. Or possibly you just can't afford to travel. And so here you are, still in Pueblo. I can't afford to travel, but the important person lives close. So I'm good to go this Thanksgiving. As we think about Thanksgiving, I want you to think about something real quick. I want you to think about your very favorite Thanksgiving carol. Okay? Now keep that in mind, your favorite Thanksgiving carol. Now I want you to think about your very favorite Thanksgiving movie or TV special that's on every Thanksgiving. Football does not count as a Thanksgiving TV special, okay? Even though the Bears are playing on Thanksgiving. Kind of hard to think of, huh? It might be possible. I mean, maybe you did think of your favorite Thanksgiving song or Thanksgiving movie. I can't think of any, personally. Now, if I were to do the same thing with Christmas, we could probably spend the rest of our time today naming carols and movies about Christmas, right? And we all have our favorites. Around my house, it's our tradition to watch a movie on Christmas Eve. It's usually either Polar Express or Elf, because those are two of our favorites. But Thanksgiving just doesn't get the attention that Christmas gets. Now, as Christians, we can talk about why that is or why that isn't, but in our world, in the secular world, it makes a lot of sense. Marketing does not really care for Thanksgiving. The last thing, as someone who markets products, the last thing you want is to celebrate contentment, right? Thankfulness. Because that's the opposite of what they're looking for. In marketing, they want you to know that you need something, that whatever this thing is, you want it, you need it. And so we don't want to concentrate. There's not a whole lot to sell at Thanksgiving except for food. So maybe King Soopers loves Thanksgiving, but for the most part, there's not a lot to sell because we're taking a moment, we're saying, here's what I have, and I'm happy about this. I'm content with this. I'm thankful for this. And so Thanksgiving gets pushed to the side a little bit. But as believers, as followers of Christ, especially leading into the Christmas season, we need to take time for thankfulness. We need to take time to seriously think about this and seriously spend some time being thankful. In fact, I believe that we cannot fully celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ until we first begin with thankfulness. And I'm going to talk about that more at the very end. But I think it's vital that this week we take time and we're thankful so that in the coming weeks we can truly celebrate the incredible miracle of Christ coming down. So in order to talk about that, I want to look at Psalm 100 today. So as you turn there, I want to share with you Psalm 100 is a very short psalm. It's only 5 verses long. It's a popular psalm. As we read through it, you'll probably recognize part of the passage, a couple of the verses. And it's a really important psalm. In the first 4 verses of this psalm, we have 7 imperatives. We have 7 times that it says, we should do this, we should do this, we should do this. 7 times in 4 verses. The 5th verse is a little different. We'll talk about that when we get there. But this is an important psalm. This is a psalm about how we should be, what we should do. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Now, the title of the message is Thanksgiving All Year Long. My hope is as we go through this, we'll learn a whole attitude of Thanksgiving, not just a certain time of year. And so we're going to look at what a thankful heart looks like, a thankful life, not just a thankful season in our life. And so I want to look at 4 things. First is the expressions of a thankful heart. What does it look like on the outside? The second thing is the beliefs of a thankful heart. What is it that we believe that leads us to that thankfulness? The third thing is the posture of a thankful heart. And what I mean by that is how we approach God. How do we come to God? And then the last thing we're going to look at is the foundation. Why is it that we should be thankful? And then at the end, I want to show you why this is so important leading into this season. So look with me at Psalm 100. says, let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today together. We thank you that we can come and fellowship. We can sing your praises. We can each open up our own Bible and read your word. We know that we have brothers and sisters all over the world today that don't have that freedom and don't have that gift. And so, Father, we are thankful that we can be here together. Father, we thank you for your living word that is active in our world and in our lives. I ask that you would open it up to us, that each and every one of us would be attentive to what it is that you want to say to our hearts and not just our minds today. And Father, I ask that these things would make a difference in our lives, in each one of us, that you would change us from what you teach us, what you show us, how you meet us here today. So bless us with your presence during this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we look at the first two verses, we get to start with the expression of thankfulness. We get to start with the outward expression of what a thankful heart is. In the first couple of verses, it says, let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, when it comes to expressing our thankfulness, we often make the mistake of making that expression, that outward expression, into almost like a twisted spiritual discipline. What I mean by that is we're not actually thankful, but we feel that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to exhibit this thankfulness. We're supposed to say what we're thankful for. We're supposed to express this joy and this gladness that I'm really thankful. And that is not what we're talking about here. Now, there is a spiritual discipline of thankfulness, but we're going to get to that here in a minute in the next verses. But what it's talking about here is the opposite of putting on a good face. What it's talking about here is what's going on in your heart, the thankfulness in your heart is overflowing to such a degree that you can't help but express it outwardly. That's what this is talking about, that incredible joy that overflows. Now, have you ever seen a video, or maybe you've experienced this in your own family, have you seen a little child who gets a present, whether it's their birthday or Christmas, and it's something they have wanted forever, and they couldn't wait to get it, and they open that present, do they contain themselves? Do they say, why, thank you, Mother and Father. I appreciate this. No, they can't contain themselves, can they? They have so much joy and excitement. They jump up and down, they hug Mom and Dad, maybe they run around the room. That's what this is talking about, that I have such a thankfulness for what I've been given that I can't hold that in. I have to express that to other people. I have to show that. I am so excited. I have so much joy. Like the psalm says, I want the whole world to be singing along with me because I am so overflowing with joy. I am filled with thankfulness, and that has to express itself in my daily life. I can't hold it in. So the question is, that's the place we want to be, right? But how do we get to that place? How do we get to that place of thankfulness? That's where verse 3 comes in. It says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture. These are the beliefs of a thankful heart. Did you realize that your beliefs play a vital role in thankfulness? What you believe to be true about God and your relationship with him are vital to being able to have a thankful heart. This part is the spiritual discipline part. This is the part that when I'm living my life and I say, I'm not thankful, I'm not grateful, then I should not pretend like I am. What I should do is I should remind myself what's true about God. What do I know to be true about God? I need to remind myself of that because that's where that thankfulness is going to come from. Thankfulness is based on a true and increasingly intimate understanding of who God is. And so who is he in this psalm? First of all, the Lord is God. The one that we worship today, the Lord we sing praises to, is the one and only true God over all that ever was, ever is, and ever will be. That's who we're talking about. Our Lord is God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. We don't worship any lesser God. We don't have a relationship with any lesser God. Our God is the one and only God. Secondly, he made us, and we belong to him. That's what the psalm tells us. Since he created us, we are his. We belong to him. Now, when we say that, that means he has the freedom to do with us whatever he pleases, because we are his, and we belong to him. Now, that can be a scary truth when you think about that, and that's why the psalm doesn't end there. We are his. He has created us, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He is our shepherd. He has created us. He can do with us whatever he pleases, and he is pleased to shepherd us, to lead us, to care for us, to protect us. Now, that's something we say so often. I think we lose the beauty in that. We lose the thankfulness that should be there. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 10. And again, I know you've probably heard these words before, but think about them in light of what we just said, in light of the fact that we worship the one true God, that he is our creator, and he has the ability, he has the right to do with us whatever he pleases. And that's where we pick up John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come into this world. I've stepped down from my throne. I was born in that manger. I lived a perfect life, and I died on the cross, raised again on the third day. I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." He's the God of all creation. He has created us. We belong to him, and he has chosen to give us life. And life abundantly. Have you ever had an extremely important person recognize you? Or even better yet, have you ever had an extremely important person invest in you and spend time with you? That's an incredible experience. You have the God of all creation who desires to spend time with you, who has invested his very life in you. That is the belief that leads to a thankful heart. And it leads to what we do next in this psalm. And that's the posture of a thankful heart. It's the way that we approach God. As we move on in Psalm 100 to verse 4, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." When a person is living a lifestyle of thankfulness, when we have a thankful heart, then we approach God with a certain posture in a certain way. Now, I want to show you the scary opposite of approaching God in the right way. Isaiah 1:12 says, and this is God speaking, it says, "When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts?" That is the posture that we do not want to approach God with, this stumbling into his presence, this trampling of his courts, like we belong there, like we own the place. "I have not asked this of you, this trampling of my courts." So what is the proper posture? Well, it's a posture of thanksgiving, of praise to God, of glorifying his name. And so I want to ask you, how often do you come into the presence of God? Now, we know that the Spirit of God lives in us. And so we know we never leave him. He never leaves us or forsakes us. But there are certain times where we clearly come into the presence of God. And one of those times is our prayer life. When we bow our head to pray, that's what we're doing, is we're entering his courts. We're coming into the presence of God. Now, how often do you enter the presence of God with thankfulness before any request from him? How often do you come in his presence and simply say, "Lord, before anything else, I want to thank you"? Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his presence with praise. Glorify his name for what he has done in your life. That's the posture of a thankful heart. Now, I know there's nothing wrong with approaching God with our requests. In fact, we are told to do that in Scripture. God desires that. He wants to hear from the depths of our hearts. And there's nothing wrong with coming to God in tears and saying, "Right now in my life, I am broken. I know you have promised to be the God who never leaves me or forsakes me, but right now I feel alone. Those are all things that we can say to God and that he wants to hear. But on a regular basis, when we come to him, how often do we enter his courts with thanksgiving? How often do we begin with that? In the evenings when we sit down to dinner at my house, we always pray before we eat, and I choose one of the kids. I always pick one of them, and they get to pray for dinner. And it's not something I ever told them they have to do. I hope they've learned this through my example. But when we sit down to dinner, very often the kids' prayer are just thankfulness. A lot of times that dinner prayer is no request at all. Lord, thank you that we had a good day at school today. Thank you that I got to go to dance class. Thank you that we got to play outside. Thank you that yesterday we went to ice cream. Thank you that mom made brownies for dessert. But it's a whole bunch of thank you. And that's a beautiful thing. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it will change your entire prayer life if you intentionally open your prayer with thank you, Lord. You may say, but in my deepest, darkest trials, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Well, as we've already said this morning, at the very least, you have Jesus. At the very least, you can be thankful for the fact that you can enter the courts of the God Almighty because of Jesus and what he's done for us. Author Alton H. McCutcheon says, "May God," I love this, "May God, who has given us so much, give us one more thing, a grateful heart." What a great request is that. So the God who's given us so much, may he give us one more thing, a grateful heart. Thankfulness is always the proper posture when we approach God, when we enter the presence of God. So now let's look at our foundation. Talked a lot about this thankfulness. What's at the heart of it? What is it based in? We've danced around it a little bit, but the very end of the psalm, verse 5, tells us very clearly. "For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations." So in the psalm, as I said, we have 7 imperatives in 4 verses. In those first 4 verses, it says, we should do this. This is how we should enter the presence of God. This is how we should rejoice. This is what we should believe. And then finally, at the very end, it doesn't have an imperative. That verse begins with 4. And what that means is, here's why. Here's why all those other 4 verses are true. And here's why we should do the actions, the thoughts of those other 4 verses. This is our foundation. The foundation is really just one word in the Hebrew. It's the word chesed, which is God's loving kindness. It is the idea of God's incredible, faithful, generous love for us. Steadfast, unending love that God has for us. Now, I was preparing the message this time, I began thinking, I don't know about you, but I have certain times in my life where my sinfulness is just incredibly clear to me. And I was preparing this message, and I was thinking about this idea. And of course, I've heard about God's faithful love, his steadfast love before. But for some reason, this time it really hit me that you would think after all the mercy that God has shown me, and all the times I continue to fail him, that he would have run out of love by now. That's not the case. And it will never be the case. It is unending, faithful, and steadfast. And this truth, this foundation, has to be our foundation for thankfulness. Now, in life, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Mom's brownies. It's great to be thankful for those. But this has to be our foundation. And the reason is, everything else that we have and every other circumstance in our life will come and go. Trust me, in our house, when mom makes brownies, they come and they go. All the good things in your circumstances and your possessions and all those things come and go. And it's great to be thankful for those. But those are not the foundation for thankfulness, because there's only one foundation that is steadfast, unending, and faithful for all eternity, and that is the love of God. You all heard it before, but Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, the present, the future, any power, height, depth, anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Faithful, steadfast, unending love of God. What a beautiful and powerful foundation for thankfulness. So, after Thursday, no one will say another word about Thanksgiving. Someone told me this morning, I don't want to point him out because he might be embarrassed. He said, "Pastor Shane, the day after Thanksgiving, I do think about Thanksgiving when I pull some bread and some turkey and some stuffing out of the fridge and I make that nice big sandwich. But the rest of the world, nothing is said about Thanksgiving. In fact, I don't remember this when I was real young, but this whole development of Black Friday, you know, midnight hits, and all of a sudden we are no longer content and we need stuff as soon as Thanksgiving is over. So once Thanksgiving ends, our world will move on and we won't say another word about it. But as I said at the beginning, it's vital to truly celebrate Thanksgiving before we can celebrate Christmas, and here's why. If we are living a life of discontent, always wanting more, always believing we deserve more, then we will trample God's courts once again. And we, as scary as it is, will approach the manger with an attitude of entitlement. Yeah, Jesus came. Yeah, he lived and died for me. Why wouldn't he? That is a trampling of God's courts. However, if we are living a lifestyle of thankfulness, already in awe of God's goodness, then the announcement of Jesus Christ is shocking and overwhelming in the sheer beauty, sacrifice, and generosity of our God. We will never appreciate the manger until we are living a lifestyle of thankfulness to our God. Despite what our world tells us, Christmas is not about the excitement of what you're going to get. It's about the excitement of what you've already received. That's what the season's about. So if you truly want to celebrate Christmas this year, celebrate Thanksgiving first. And set the stage for a Thanksgiving that lasts all year long. Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come today, we are thankful for your incredible loving kindness, your faithful, unending love for us that lasts through all generations and on into eternity. Father, we are thankful that you have loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son as a sacrifice for my sin, for every one of my sins. For every time that I've failed you, every time that I've taken your grace and your mercy for granted, every one of those, your love, your faithfulness, your kindness, and your goodness are bigger than every single one of those times I've sinned, those times I've failed you. Father, we thank you for that goodness. And Father, to you who has given us so much already, we ask for one more thing, that you would fill us with a thankful heart. We are sinful people who are prone to discontent. We live in a world that covets at all times. Lord, we need the power of your Spirit living in us and through us if we're going to rise above that. If we're going to be people of thankfulness, of gratitude, people who enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise, people who glorify your name, Father, do that work in us and then let that work in the depths of our hearts overflow into joyful expressions of thanksgiving. Because what a powerful testimony to a world that is never content, to a world that always wants more, to be able to see that Jesus Christ is more than enough to meet every need, to overcome every sin, to bring joy and thankfulness, in the midst of a fallen and broken world. What a powerful witness. Father, fill us with that thankfulness and let it overflow into our lives. Let us be filled to such a degree that we cannot help but share that joy and that thankfulness with those around us, that it will be seen very visibly, very tangibly in our lives. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you most of all for Jesus Christ and the way that you have overcome our sin, brought us into your family, that you are pleased to shepherd us and protect us and call us your children. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.